Today is the sixth day of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. How are you today? How is your first full week of the year going? We are definitely getting established in the rhythm that will follow here in the scriptures, but chances are, being the first week of the year, we are establishing a lot of different rhythms that are aimed at making us lead a more healthy life and tending the garden of our hearts. Our inner life is key to that, at least according to the Bible. And so we're well on our way. This is day six of our journey. We're moved into all the books that we will be reading, and so let's dive in. We're reading from the New International Version this week. Genesis chapter 13, verse 5 through 15, verse 21 today. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go. Walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. At the time when Amraphel was king of Shinar, Arioch king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer king of Elam, and Tidal the king of Goyim, these kings went to war against Bera king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar. All these latter kings joined forces in the valley of Siddim, that is, the Dead Sea Valley. For 12 years they had been subject to Chedorlaomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him went out and defeated the Rephaites in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, the Zuzites in Ham, the Emites in Shaveh, Kariathaim, and the Horites in the hill country of Seir, as far as El Paran, near the desert. Then they turned back and went to En Mishpat, that is, Kadesh, and they conquered the whole territory of the Amalekites, as well as the Amorites who were living in Hazazon Tamar. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar, marched out and drew up their battle lines in the valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goyim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar. 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, And when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some of the men fell into them, and the rest fled to the hills. The four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food, and they went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. A man who had escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet with him in the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to take possession of it." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it?" So the Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon." Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites." Matthew 5:27 through 48. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made." But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply, "Yes" or "No." Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, "Eye for eye and tooth for tooth." But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, "Love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Psalm 6. For the director of music, with stringed instruments, according to Shimoneth, a psalm of David. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? how long. Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. Proverbs 1, 29 through 33. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Okay, so in the book of Genesis today, we are traveling alongside this man named Abram. God has called him to go into a land that he didn't know. And for that matter, God called him and Abram didn't know God. So this is a God Abram didn't know, telling him to go to a land he doesn't know. And Abram does it. And so we've been watching that happen, and we know that Abram's nephew Lot is along for the journey, and they both have a lot of stuff. So much so that they can't wander together. They can't be, they're like nomadic tent-dwelling people, and they have a ton of livestock and people, and so the land just can't support that much. So they got to go their separate ways, which we watched happen today, with Lot looking around and choosing what he thought was the best land, and Abraham taking what was left over. And then we read this account of 5 kings versus 4 kings fighting it out in the Dead Sea area. 2 of those kings are the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, and those cities are famous in the Bible. In the end, though, Lot gets captured in the battle and he is taken off as plunder. His family is taken off, and word arrives with Abram and he goes in pursuit. And according to the book of Genesis, he passes through Dan and follows them all the way till near Damascus. What's interesting is that the ancient city of Dan exists. What's even more interesting is that in more recent years, some ruins have been found that have been excavated, and what they revealed was a city gate, one of the oldest city gates that have been found. There are 2 that are similar in age in Israel, but some of the oldest ancient city gates that are known, they're Canaanite gates. So being able to visit there and look upon that gate and then reflect back to this story in the book of Genesis, you realize, it's like not super far of a stretch to think Abraham went through here pursuing Lot after he had been captured. Now, obviously, they didn't have any security cameras on the gates at that time, and there was no YouTube or anything like that to stream evidence to, so nobody knows who went through those gates. We just know that Abram went this way in pursuit of Lot to get his family back, which he did. But it's deeply fascinating to stand there and look at those ancient gates, and they're really, really old and crumbling and falling apart. But to realize you're looking back all the way as far as the book of Genesis, it's pretty profound. And during all of this, once the battles are over and the people have been recaptured and the families have been reunited and plunder is about to be divvied up, we meet a person with an interesting name, Melchizedek. We'll actually talk a little bit more about Melchizedek a little later on our journey through the Bible. We're going to hear this guy two other times. Once in the Psalms, and once in the book of Hebrews. And by the time that we get to the book of Hebrews, we will have gained a significant amount of context for the journey that we are on, and it'll make a whole lot more sense. But for where we are right now, Melchizedek is the first priest of the Most High God that we encounter in the Bible. So as we continued our reading, God came to Abram, who is also known as Abraham. I don't think that's too much of a spoiler. Abraham will become Abram's name once God changes it. And God is telling Abram, that he's going to have so many offspring that if you could count the sand on the seashore, then you could count his offspring. The problem is that Abram doesn't have any offspring. And he's pushing 100 years old. And his wife, she's in her 90s. So you can see there's a little bit of a disconnect in how this is going to happen. Abraham, he probably has his mind plenty well around how these things do happen, like where babies come from. But to say that getting pregnant in your 90s would be a risky pregnancy, that would be an understatement. Here's the thing, because Abram's response in this moment affects the rest of the Bible and formulates a central, one of the most important understandings of the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul centers so much of his theology around the action that we read today. And again, context will begin to unfold before us as we continue to take the journey, and by the time we get into the letters of Paul, we'll be able to reflect back on this very moment at the very beginning of the year, at the very beginning of our journey. What Abram did was believe God, despite the natural impossibility of Abram and Sarai having a child together. He believed God, and God counted Abram righteous because of this belief. Another way of saying this, maybe a little more modern and understandable way of saying this, is that Abram had faith in God despite what the circumstances were. And God counted that as righteousness on Abram's behalf. It's so important for us to understand that righteousness before God is like the chief goal here in the Bible. The Bible's going to touch every little part of our lives, but being in good standing before God is the core objective. And Abram achieved this objective without jumping through a single hoop, lighting a candle, reciting a prayer, observing rituals, or even obeying God's law that we will see come into being in the scriptures. Once we meet this man named Moses, a little while from now, Abram didn't have a law to obey. He didn't have a book of customs or rituals. There was no Bible. He simply believed. And I cannot understate how important that is to the biblical narrative out in front of us. And so let's remember this day, and let's remember what we've read this day in the book of Genesis, because these things will flesh themselves out into context for us, but they are monumental. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to start at the beginning and work our way forward and let the whole story unfold before us. It's our goal to be in your presence and to be in each other's presence every day as we take this journey. as we listen to what the scriptures have to say so that we can finally see contextually everything. We're reading every word, every sentence, every paragraph, every book. And we thank you that as we're diligent and faithful to the journey, you will reveal yourself to us. And so, we believe you. We believe you, Lord. We take this example from the beginning of the book with this foundational character, Abraham, the patriarch of the Hebrew people. And we choose to follow in that example. We believe you. And so come, Holy Spirit, plant what we have read today into our hearts. And we look forward to the fact that if we cultivate these seeds that are being planted, there will be a harvest in our lives. And we believe that. We believe you. And so come, Holy Spirit, into all of this. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It is the website. It's where you find out what's going on around here. And you can do that within the Daily Audio Bible app as well, of course, with the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner. And so, check out what's going on. Get plugged in any way that you can and any way that you want to. Check out the community section. That is where the prayer wall lives. And the prayer wall is an always on, never off resource available to the community here. We can always reach out for prayer. And we can always reach back in prayer to each other there. And that is one of the distinctives about the community here. We pray for one another. We love one another through all of the things that we face together in a year. And we get to know each other by story and by voice. And so definitely be aware of the Daily Audio Bible Prayer Wall. That is in the community section. Also in the community section are different links to different places to get connected. So check that out in the community section. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. Or if you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And I thank you. I thank you humbly and profoundly. If the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and given freely to anyone who will listen, any time of day or night, anywhere on this planet, and to build community around that rhythm so that we are not alone, not in life and not on our journey through the Bible, if that is life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or there are a number of numbers that you can dial, depending on where you are in the world. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number. If you are in the UK or Europe, 442036-088078 is the number to call. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. And I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB family. It is the 31st of December at 12:09 p.m. and this is Sarah from London. I'm currently in Ghana, West Africa, visiting family during Christmas and the New Year. And this is my first time that I've actually finished the DAB and read the Bible throughout the year since joining in 2017. And I'm feeling super emotional because this time last year I was in such a completely different place, but God has come through. I'm currently sitting here on a balcony, 30 degrees weather, and just so grateful for God's grace and mercy. And I'm just so thankful to God for everything that He has done. I just feel so blessed, so I want to just say Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you so much to the Harden family and those behind the scenes that makes this possible, because this has really changed my life in many ways. And, thank you for all you do. Thank you to my DAB family. May this year be filled with joy, peace, and favor in Jesus' name. I love you all, and have a blessed day.
Good morning, my Daily Audio Bible family. It's December 31st. I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year, and I just finished listening to the last broadcast of 2021. My name is David Browning. I'm from Savannah, Georgia. Harden family and all those who are involved in Daily Audio Bible, I want to thank you so much for saying yes and answering God's call. I've been a Christian since 1972, and I started listening to this program in May of 2020. And the growth I've experienced in the last year and a half has been exponential in comparison to all the years before. And I just thank you so much for saying yes. And I wish everybody a happy and wonderful new year. And I look forward to starting fresh on January 1st of 2022 for another year in Daily Audio Bible. Thank you again. I love you all. God bless.
This is From Junk to Treasure, and this is my prayer for the new year. And perhaps you can pray it along with me. Our Father of all grace, I thank you for being gracious to me in 2021. I ask that you go before me and destroy every evil the enemy has planned against me and my family. I ask that you will open doors you want open for my new journey with you, and keep me from wasting time standing at and banging on the doors you have shut. Give me courage to obey your written word as I let the seeds of your promises and directives settle into my heart. Lead me into your righteousness so that all I say and do is pleasing and glorifies you. Shine a light on my sinful ways and let me quickly seek forgiveness, and make me ever humble and willing to forgive others. Help me to purge bad habits and give me the skills to prioritize my time. Let my complaining be replaced with thankfulness. Surround me with Christian believers who have the desire and capacity to help me when I struggle, to gently admonish me if I stray from what is right in your eyes, to be holy counsel when I question or need guidance, and allow me to be built up in your ways that I can do the same for others. Give me discernment and insight, and let me understand your will, hear your voice, and know your ways. Grant me supernatural endurance to stay the course, not swaying to the left or the right. Let my focus for this new year be to seek you with a new desire that will only grow stronger as I go from the beginning of this new year through to the end of 2022. Provide an abundance of provisions so that I may share with those in need. Grant restoration in my relational, physical, emotional, financial, and spiritual areas of my life. Let us experience hope, peace, balance, and an overflowing amount of joy in you. Amen and amen. Make treasures out of the junk that is thrown in our lives.
Okay. I am a caller from Slovenia. I called one time before in around April time for my cousin. Who's sick, and the Lord has been rescuing her many times. But please continue to pray for her. I just wanted to share with you how I just finished the last recording right now, just now, and in the start of December, I was 3 months behind. And yesterday, I was at the start of December, and I listened to the entire month of December yesterday. And yeah, maybe it's not the best way to do this, but I'm so thankful to God that He has allowed me to finish this. It was completely by His grace. And Brian, I'm so thankful for everything you do. I'm thankful for everyone who helps with this, and I wish you all a blessed year. May God keep and protect you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Happy New Year, Dabbers. It's Grace Phil DeCastro here, and I just want to say how excited I was to start this new chapter in the year, hearing the word fresh once again from the very beginning. So thank you, Brian, for that. I'm, you know, so excited to continue this journey with you all. And basically, I just want to say how much I love the DAB. My goal this year is to invite as many as my friends and family to experience this wonderful community and all that it has to offer, with so many beautiful people, you know, throughout the world, offering advice, praying, you know, sending in prayer requests and being their own truth, just being so truthful and honest. It's so refreshing, and we're all in this together. So I am once again incredibly grateful. I love this community, and I am so looking forward, you know, to this year and what it has to offer through hearing the Bible read fresh daily by yourself, Brian. And yeah, I love it. So thank you all. Happy New Year once again, and take care.
Happy New Year, my Dab family. It's Sparky from Texas. We've been 90 days without precipitation or any moisture, and it is snowing, and it is 18 degrees, and I'm out growing steaks. And this day is super, super special to me. Not only is it my wife's first time going through the Bible since I've showed her, she's the one who led me to Christ. This is my second time. This day is so special to me. Family, I love it. I love y'all. I love my family. And you know what? God is so good. If you can make it through the Bible, you're probably in the lower percentile of human beings that claim to be Christian that could say they actually went through it. Today is special. Today is so special. I love y'all. I'm praying for every one of you. Today is God's day. You just got through the Bible. And I want to say a special prayer to the sister who you've been on my mind all week. Your sister with a colon cancer. I've been praying really hard about that. I pray for every one of you guys. I pray hard. And I just love y'all. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, the rest of the Harden family. We love you. Godspeed. Let's have an awesome year.